What do you get when you combine simplified practice marketing, proven ROI strategy, and Van skate shoes? You get Mark Thackeray, of course. So lace up, grab your green smoothie, and get ready, because this is Dental Marketing Secrets, and this is Mark.
Merry Christmas, you guys. Merry Christmas. As you can see, I've got my favorite sweater on. Stand up so you can see the whole beauty of this thing. Look at that. It's just a work of art right there. But I wanted to wish you Merry Christmas first off. And second, I wanted to talk about this thing that keeps coming up. Clients are talking about it. People, communities that I know online are talking about this, but is Apple killing Facebook ads? Okay. With the recent update to the iOS 14, it's got Facebook and Google all up in arms right now. They're, you know, what is happening? Is this the end? They're freaking out about what this might mean for them. So I want to talk about what is going on and what I see happening in the future. Okay. So if you look at it from Apple's perspective, what are they doing? What they are doing is they're actively pursuing security for their users. There's privacy is a big deal. They are, and what this looks like is that they're stopping advertisers from following customers around on the web. Okay. So all iOS 14 users will now have to opt in to allow companies to track them and their data online. Okay. They're going to see, and what that looks like is a pop-up message on your phone. When you go into an app, you'll see a little pop-up window that says, in effect, this app would like permission to track you across apps and websites that are owned by other companies. Your data will be used to deliver personalized ads to you, something like that. And then you'll have a button to either allow tracking or ask or not, you know, ask app not to track is how they phrased it. Now, if you're looking at this from a user standpoint and this pops up on your phone when you open up an app, what are you likely going to do? And the vast majority of people, I assume, are just going to opt out, right? And that's a big change. You know, I mean, that's a big change, is not to allow that user tracking to follow you around on the web, because that allows advertising platforms to be so detailed in their targeting. You know, so when I'm doing Facebook ads for a client, I can get very specific in how I target people based on what their activity looks like online. Okay. And that's all tracked, you know, through companies like Apple and things like that. But now this change is preventing that from happening. And it's one of the bigger changes in recent years. And so I've got a lot of people that are asking, well, how is this going to impact my Facebook ads? Is my business, am I screwed? Am I hosed? Has the end of the world officially come? You know, and so you get all this emotion that's coming around. And first off, I want you to let you know, take a breath, look at my sweater, and don't panic. Okay. That's the important thing to remember here. Let's dive into what we're seeing and what's actually going on and understand what our options are when it comes to responding and responding effectively. Now, this is a fairly sophisticated discussion because there's so many things involved. We have a number of variables, as well as which is compounded by a certain amount of unknown. And so the last thing I want to happen is for you to jump to a conclusion without listening to the entirety of this little discussion. It's not going to be very long, but once you understand all the aspects, it'll be easier to know what to do. Okay. But let's start with what this really is. So it all begins with what's called the IDFA tag, and that stands for Identifiers for Advertisers, IDFA. So what are these IDFAs? They are essentially tags assigned by Apple and Apple devices to that specific user. And these tags allow Apple to follow that user around the web without revealing any of their private information, like their name or their email address, anything like that. Okay. Under this new system, this new program, Apple is now requiring any developers like Facebook who want access to the IDFA tags, they're requiring them to ask you for permission. And that's where that pop-up message comes in, like I talked about before. That's where you're going to see that when you open up an app and it says, hey, would you like to turn on tracking? You know, and most people are going to probably opt out, right? And the reason is, you know, a lot of us don't really understand what that means. There's the fear of the unknown. If we don't really understand something, we automatically kind of think it's bad. And this is a little bit different than what's happened in the past. Historically, you were automatically opted into tracking. Now, you had the option to go and manually change that in your settings, but you were automatically by default opted in. This is the reverse of that. So now you have to manually opt in order for your data to be tracked by Apple. Okay. Now, why is Apple doing this? Well, really, when it comes down to it, I think it's more of a power play by Apple than anything else. Because if you look at Facebook and Google, their main bread and butter comes from ad revenue. They have an ad revenue model, meaning that they generate their money through advertising. And Apple is not set up that way to the same extent that Facebook and Google are. And so it's not hurting Apple to limit tracking on their users' devices like it is for Facebook, like it is for Google. And really, Apple is just flexing their muscles right now with this move. And all the while, they're championing privacy for their users. And as a result, Facebook and Google are none too happy about this. And it's no secret, too, that Tim Cook of Apple and Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook are not BFFs. They've had their feuds in the past. They love to take shots at each other. And so this is an extension of that. But if you look at Facebook and Google, who rely heavily on advertising to generate each month, to generate revenue, and we're talking about billions and billions of dollars every year in ad revenue, this is a major shot at them, because one of the reasons why they've been able to generate so much money through ad revenue is because they've been so effective at targeting. Okay, so this targeting has allowed for very effective, dare I say, economical advertising, especially for small businesses. And this is taking a shot at that, really. It's really trying to pinch that off a little bit. And to really understand this, you need to look at the three parties that are involved. So we have Apple, okay, and they're, again, holding up the privacy banner. They're eager to funnel away any ad revenue away from Google, away from Facebook. And then you have the advertising platforms. You have Facebook, you have Google, that are naturally up in arms about all this. And their argument to this is that, hey, this allows for a more customized, a more personalized feed that's based around the interests of the interests of the user. What's the harm in that? And it's all free to the user. That's what they're saying, right? And then you have the end user, which is me and you, and we certainly value the privacy. But like I said, I don't think we really understand the extent of data that's being collected, and quite frankly, what that really means. You know, there's this general paranoia of things that we don't understand. And when it comes to tracking and data and, you know, always hearing people, oh, stinking phones, they're listening to my conversation. You know, my Alexa's tuning in on my conversation. There's this general distrust of that. And so as a result, when this comes out, well, and it's out, I mean, people are opting out and will continue to opt out when they're faced with this. And this is causing a lot of alarm with ad agencies and advertisers and small businesses that are relying on these advertising platforms to bring in new clients, new patients. And they're worried that their ability to track effectively and target effectively through these advertising platforms is going to be wiped out. Is this the end of Facebook ads as we know it? Now, I don't take that approach. I don't think it is. And here's a couple of reasons why I feel that way. First, the IDFA change has been delayed to 2021. And this has come about because of the immense pressure that Apple has faced from developers and from advertising platforms to adapt and conform to these changes really quickly. And to me, what that signifies is that Apple is not totally outside of Facebook's massive influence. As much as they like to be, they're just not, okay? And so that's a big thing for me. Second, this option to disable these IDFA tags is not new. It is, as I alluded to earlier, you could do this in the past. It actually started with iOS 10. you could manually disable that by going through your settings and privacy and then disable that. But, there were hundreds of thousands of people that did that. And we were still able to effectively target on Facebook and other platforms even then. This is a little bit different. I acknowledge that this is a little bit different because it's reversed, because people have to manually opt in instead of manually opt out. And so there will be more people that opt out. It's going to be a mass turnoff in that regard. But I don't think it will completely derail targeting efforts on these advertising platforms. Next, it's also important to understand that not all targeting will be ruined. That some people believe that's the case, and that is not true. The biggest impact you're going to see is on the Facebook audience network, which is essentially allowing your ad to be shown on a series of partnering apps with Facebook. And so those, the apps in general are going to take the biggest hit. They're going to take the brunt of this. So if you are advertising heavily through the audience network and other apps, then yeah, you're going to have some adjustments to make. But in general, you still retain quite a bit of targeting on Facebook ads. And what I've seen, really, it's really interesting. In my case, with a lot of my clients, we have tested some, you know, very detailed targeting, but also broaden those interests a little bit, broaden those, that targeting up, opening that up so it's not quite as detailed, and have had a little bit more success with that. And we've just been more focused on refining the content or the creative, so the copy, the images, the video, to call out those people that were the best fit for. And so, yeah, it's a great way to adapt to that change if you haven't already, but there's still a lot of targeting that's going to be retained through Facebook and other advertising platforms. You also, another point to consider is you also have to remember that Facebook and Google are working all hours of the day. They're working tirelessly to come up with their own in-house solution to this problem of collecting data, and so that they can strategically sidestep Apple and really not have to worry about them anymore or ever again. That's the ultimate goal that they're working towards. We don't know when this will come about. We don't know exactly what this will look like, but you can rest assured that this will come out, that they are working hard on this solution, and it's going to happen, in my case, in my thoughts, sooner or later. You look at all the resources and the capital that they have at their fingertips, it's going to happen fairly quickly. So if we zoom out and look big picture on all this and to sum it all up, what does this really mean? And as I think about this change and really the overall evolution of what's happened through the past decade, your focus really needs to be on a few key things. One is to create better ads. And I just talked about that recently with refining your copy, getting better at hooking in the reader with what you're saying, and not letting go. I mean, you think about setting a hook in fishing, that hook does not come out. No matter what the fish tries to do, it does not come out of that hook. And your copy should be the same way, where it pulls the reader in and they just want to keep reading and reading and reading until the end. That's really the evolution that needs to happen, is in the improvement of your overall copy, improvement of creating compelling images and videos that substantiate the copy, that hook people in, that get them interested, and really command attention from those that you're targeting, your ideal audience. Second thought was, okay, take a look at your controlled assets, nurturing and growing your controlled assets. One of those, email list. You know, it immediately comes to mind. How often are we seeing these types of sweeping changes, like what's going on with iOS 14 and Apple? How often do you see those types of changes when it comes to email? Hardly, never. Like, you just don't ever see that happen. It hasn't really changed much over the last couple of decades. And a lot of people are writing this off because they feel like, oh, this is, email doesn't work. Nobody wants to read an email. And the reality is people do, they want to read the content. If the content addresses a problem that they have, scratches an itch, if it helps them achieve their goals if it helps them gain speed or, you know, improve their health or whatever the case may be, and it's compelling to them, they are going to read it. That's what's so cool. And it's a very powerful tool. I mean, you think about where else can you build an effective relationship in an automated, systematized way? And it's email. Like, I mean, email is the place you can create campaigns and drip sequences and nurture campaigns that really take them from this end of the spectrum all the way to this end of the spectrum. And it's very, very powerful. I keep hitting my microphone, but it's a very effective tool that a lot of people aren't utilizing. So that came to my mind. So nurturing and growing your controlled assets like that. Same thing would be said of your mailing lists. If direct mail can still be a very valuable asset to your marketing strategy, especially to existing clients. That's what I found in my campaigns working with clients is it's a little bit more costly to go after new patients or new clients via direct mail. But I found it to be even more effective with working with existing clients and bringing them back in. And the trust is already there. It's something to test. Always test and make sure. But that also comes to mind when I think of controlled assets. Okay. The last one that came to mind is strategic partnerships. And this one is very, very powerful. Not a lot of people really think about this or know how to do this, but it's something that I really enjoy doing with my clients. And that is where you think about leveraging the trust, leveraging all the goodwill, the resources, the capital, the systems, even the personnel of a kindred company, a company that's not competitive with yours, and doing this in a win-win situation so that everyone involved benefits. So you benefit by gaining exposure and favorable exposure to someone who already has that market that you're looking for. The host company wins in this situation because they get typically great value or content that they otherwise would not be able to produce on their own. And the end, their client list or their audience benefits because they get content and direction and things that they otherwise wouldn't receive. And so it's a great win-win, in this case, win-win-win scenario. And again, not a lot of people are doing it. It takes a little bit to nurture and develop, but when you do, it can prove it can have a tremendous impact on your business, on the host business. Again, it's such a very cool strategy. But those are a couple of things that came to mind as I was thinking about, okay, big picture, what does this mean? And looking at this evolution, right? And all these changes that are coming about. So to end, if you have any questions on this, anything I talked about today, love to talk to you about that. If you're looking to run some Facebook ads, happy to talk to you and share with you what's been working for me, what even things that haven't been working as well. And just because I want to make sure that if you're doing it, you have as much information as possible. Anyways, hope you found this valuable, and Merry, Merry Christmas to you all.
Did you enjoy this episode of the Dental Marketing Secrets Podcast? Head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. And for more proven marketing strategies to grow your practice, visit practicerocket.net.